Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8. We'll read verses 6 through 11 together. Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly, in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even to the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, and there is no peace. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that we have literally over 1,000 people here on this property. But Lord, that means there's hundreds and hundreds and yea, 1,000 or better needs. Our preacher needs the Holy Spirit to do His work, His way today. Lord, there's people here, they walked on this property, not sure of heaven. They could leave here on their way towards that place. There's people here that came burdened, and they need that burden lifted. Please, use our preacher. May we listen with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
We live in a day where people don't really want to hear the truth. We don't want to face ourselves about the truth. We don't want to face the truth about our homes. We don't want to face the truth about our marriages. We don't want to face the truth about our children. And we really don't want to face the truth about the reality of a holy God. We'd prefer not to be reminded of all of those things. We want to make ourselves believe that everything is okay with us, even when it's not. We want to believe that we are experiencing a peace in our lives that we are not. We want to make people believe that our hurts are healed when they're not. See, this passage of Scripture that we read a few minutes ago, it talks about someone being slightly healed. Slightly healed. That's almost the way we prefer to live. Slightly religious. Slightly involved with God. Just slightly. Slightly let the Bible into your life. Let's just slightly think about God. But to be serious about the things of God in this day and age? Well, I think God's pretty serious about us in this day and age. I'll read to you again the verse from which this morning's sermon comes. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11, it says, For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Healed, but only slightly. They say, Peace, peace, but there was no real peace. Someone's saying, Well, they tried to meet my needs, but not really. They did not really meet my needs. They put a Band-Aid on my wound. There's so many people that are hurting so very deeply today, but a Band-Aid will not heal a wound. It merely covers it for a little while. We've tried to cover the truth. We tried to cover the hurt. Oh, listen to me, my friend. If there is an empty spot in your heart because you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can try to cover that with many things, but only Jesus is going to satisfy that longing, and you can't even really figure it all out, but there's something missing in your life, and I think I could tell you what that something is today. Only healed, but slightly, just slightly, just a slight bit of God in my life, just a slight bit of the church in my life, just a slight bit of the Bible in my life. But that's not how God planned it. Let me tell you a story. It is a true story. I was preaching in a church in I think it was Lakeland, Michigan, and I was sitting in a pastor's office. I pulled a book down off of his shelf, and I began to read this book. And in the book, I found this story. It was told by a preacher from Northern Ireland. A boy lived in a Scottish home. His name was Robert. They called him Robbie. He was troubled about his soul. He knew that he was lost, and he did not know what to do about it. He knew there was something missing in his life. He knew there was an emptiness. He knew there was a void in his life. But he couldn't find anybody to help him find peace about his eternal destination. He couldn't find anybody that could help him get peace about his soul. His father was considered a church-going man, a religious man. And to be honest, Robbie's father was very embarrassed that his son felt the way he did, lost and undone and empty. Robbie went to the minister where his father went to church. And Robbie talked to this preacher for a long time. And so Robbie was gloomy about this thing. And Robbie was scared about this thing. And his dad was embarrassed being a religious man that went to the church. And now he's got a boy that fears his future destination. What will happen to him after death? And so this preacher talked to Robbie at length. And then finally, he said, well, you know something, I got an idea. Here's what let's do with Robbie's problem. Let's get him a fiddle. And we'll get Robbie a fiddle, and we'll have Robbie learn to play that fiddle. And maybe he could take some lessons on the fiddle. And that fiddle will keep his mind busy, and it'll keep Robbie from worrying about heaven and hell, and maybe it'll keep Robbie's mind busy so he's not in despair over his condition. And we'll just get Robbie a fiddle, and he'll take his lessons, and he'll play the fiddle, and maybe just that fiddle will get this thing out of his mind, and he'll stop being so concerned about heaven and hell. So they bought Robbie a fiddle. He took some lessons. Oh, Robbie got pretty good on that fiddle, but the only problem was it didn't help because Robbie was still in despair about his soul. He was still concerned about the fact that he wasn't on his way to heaven, and he knew it, and there was an empty spot in his heart, in his mind, and in his life, and he knew there was a void that it had to be filled. Oh, he played his fiddle, but he couldn't get it. He couldn't get heaven off of his mind. He couldn't get the thought of hell off of his mind. He was still scared. He would say, I could die at any moment, and I'm not on my way to heaven. Oh, he could fiddle, but it didn't help. They called a doctor in. His father was embarrassed. They called a doctor in, and this doctor recommended that Robbie be put in a sanitarium for the mentally disturbed. Said he's not right. He's not right. Get him out of society. They thought he was losing his mind. Robbie was taken to an asylum. And remember, this is a true story. Robbie was taken to an asylum. They said he's just a worried religious lunatic. He was there for a long time. One day, a born-again, soul-winning Christian lady went by to visit a friend of hers who had been put in that very same asylum or hospital. When that lady went to visit her friend, she was visiting in a room next door to Robbie's room. She heard Robbie in his room lying on his bed weeping. She wondered to herself, I wonder if that is someone with a broken heart, or I wonder if that's just a crazy person. She stepped out of her friend's room and stepped into the next room where laying on that bed was this young man weeping. She inquired, young man, how may I help you? He looked up. His eyes were red. He had bags underneath his eyes. His body was frail and shriveled up where he had not been able to eat or sleep. And he said, ma'am, I'm in turmoil. I want to go to heaven. But no one seems to be able to tell me how. They put me here because I'm so concerned about my soul and where I'll spend eternity. And she said, young man, I have your answer. She took her Bible out and showed him about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. She showed him where Jesus lived 33 and a half sinless years and was then crucified on the cross of Calvary, buried and risen, a risen Savior. She showed him all about Jesus Christ and how to be born again. And that day on his knees by his bed in room 107 of that asylum, Robbie trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He got up off his knees. He did not weep another tear. All of a sudden, the people in the asylum, they noticed the change in Robbie's life. They noticed that he was different. They noticed that there was no more despair. They noticed that something had happened. You see, there had been an emptiness that is now filled with Jesus Christ. There was a lack that was no longer a lack, because when you have Jesus, there's no lack in your life. There was a fear that he had had before that no longer existed. Why? Because his eternity was now settled. He no longer had to fear. He no longer had to toss and turn at night. He no longer had to worry if he were to suddenly die, what would happen to his soul. He no longer feared the possibility of hell. He had trusted Jesus Christ. The attendants of the asylum began watching him. They couldn't figure it out. They said, what a miraculous curing of his mental state has taken place. Oh my! The doctor studied him and looked at him, and someone said, what has taken place here? Oh, this is amazing. They called Robbie's dad in and said, sir, we have cured your son. You may take him home. Robbie arrived at home. He had a little brother named Jamie. Jamie said to his dad, Robbie is changed, Daddy. Robbie's father, for the first time, is now about to have a conversation with this newly saved boy who had been distraught and actually put into an insane asylum for years because nobody could figure out what was really troubling him and how to solve the problem. Now he's born again, sitting at the table, about to have the first conversation he's had with his dad since he was put away. And his father said, Robbie, are you okay now? Robbie said, yes, Daddy, I'm fine. Dad, my sins have been forgiven me. I'm not troubled anymore. Robbie's father said, Jamie, get the doctor. He's talking this religion again as the solution to his problem. Get the doctor. He's having a relapse. He's having a relapse. Get the preacher. Hurry. He's having a relapse. The preacher came. The very same preacher who had recommended that he play the fiddle. The preacher came rushing in and said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, well, you know, Robbie was crazy and then we put him in the asylum and then he came out and I asked him today if he were okay and he started talking Jesus again. What's wrong with him, preacher? What's wrong with him? And the preacher said, Robbie, what's wrong with you? And Robbie looked at that preacher and said, preacher, why did you try to get me to fiddle my sins away? Why didn't you tell me that it was Jesus that I was looking for? Preacher, what your fiddling could not do for me, Jesus has done. You know something, folks? All over this world, people are trying to fiddle away. They're trying to fiddle away their depression and fiddle away that emptiness that's down inside them. They're trying to fiddle away the empty spot. They're trying to fiddle away a need that they know is down inside them. If you sat here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. You can fiddle in life all you want, but fiddling will never fill the void that is in your heart and in your soul. You see, what you've been looking for, it is Jesus Christ. That's what you're looking for. Lost people look to many things to help their aching soul and their despair, but it only comes with Jesus. You see the passage of Scripture we read from the book of Jeremiah. It said these people were healed, but only slightly. As we fiddle in life to try to cover up the pain and the emptiness, we only slightly heal the hurt that's down inside us. But I can introduce you to the Savior today, and He can heal your misery. Not just slightly, but He can heal the misery of your eternity completely. He can heal it all. He can take your fear of tomorrow away, because your eternity will be in heaven with Him, and you'll not have to fear death like you do. You don't need to be healed slightly. You need to be healed all the way. But we run to so many things, looking for something and not finding it. What are we looking for? What's the human race looking for as we run to all the things of this life? What we're really looking for is found in Jesus Christ. For instance, people fiddle with booze. People fiddle with their alcohol. And why? Why? A lot of drunkards are trying to figure out how to fiddle away life's pains. That's what they're looking for. They're trying to fiddle away life's pains. We're trying to, and alcohol is not the answer. It's just like being a captive in that insane asylum. It's not going to fix the problem. Drunks booze it up, hoping to drown their sorrows. They're trying to fiddle away their emotional problems and fiddle away the burdens of life and fiddle away the pressures of life. And they hide in that bottle. But it only brings more pain. You realize in the United States of America, last year, we produced 6,200,000,000 gallons of alcohol. Why? Because in our country, we want to fiddle away the pressure that can only be cared for by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. And they call it Bud Wiser. They ought to call it Bud Dumber. It's never helped anybody. You're not going to. You won't drink your problems away. You'll drink your health away. You'll drink your sanity away. And I'm not your enemy today. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm telling you, you've been looking for something, but you're not finding it. It is not there. You can drink and drink and drink and drink, and the minute you sober up, you'll face it again. The empty spot is still there. The booze did not fill the blank spot in your heart, but I've got somebody that is the living water. His name is Jesus Christ. You can take one drink of salvation, and you'll never thirst again. But the booze won't do it. I know. I know firsthand. My granddad owned a bar. It was called Mother's, spelled with a U. It was a wicked, vile place. I remember as a boy, my mom and take me by and go visit my granddad, because granddad was there all day long. People would start drinking early in the morning and drink until the day was gone, into the night, into the next morning. My grandfather, the grandmother that I know now, was my fifth, because my grandfather had been married 5 different times. I watched my grandfather's health sicker and sicker and sicker as he would drink from early in the morning until late at night. I remember when we received a phone call how some men had come into the bar one evening. They tried to rob the bar. My grandfather was a tough old cob. He had a double-barrel sawed-off shotgun that he clipped up underneath the bar where they'd serve people. These men tried to rob the bar, and Grandpa in his 80s pulled that double-barrel shotgun off and let a barrel into the ceiling, hoping to scare them off, and it didn't. And the men scattered, and he shot off another. Them realizing he'd taken the only 2 shots he had, they grabbed 2 men, young men, grabbed my grandfather at over 80 years old. They beat him senseless, and then they would make hamburgers on a great big stainless steel grill, huge. They took my grandfather and placed him belly down and held him on that griddle until you could smell his flesh burning. I remember going to the hospital, and they replaced all of my grandfather's internal parts because they had all been cooked like hamburger meat. I remember the life that he lived. I remember the misery I remember the vomiting. I remember stories that I cannot tell, nor will I. My grandfather was miserable. And so was my grandmother. And so was the rest of the family. Because somebody had an empty spot in their soul. And they got to fiddling with something to try to fill the void. But the booze didn't do it. My grandfather, nearly 90 years of age, was lying in the Reed Memorial Hospital in Richmond, Indiana. And they called me and said, if you're going to see Grandpa again, you need to come now. I got in my car and I drove there and I walked into the room. Everybody left the room. I said to my grandpa, I said, Grandpa, I'm going to be real honest with you. He called me Jeffy. He said, I don't know, what are they telling you, Grandpa? He said, people keep saying, don't worry. His last name was Halberstadt. They called him Hap. He said, Jeffy, they just keep saying Hap, it's going to be okay. And I said, Grandpa, it's not going to be okay. He said, Jeffy, I knew you'd tell me the truth. I'm dying, right? I said, Grandpa, you're dying. That's why I'm here. They told me if I was ever going to see you again, I needed to come. You're dying. I said, Grandpa, I'd like to see you again. I said, Grandpa, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. My grandfather said, Jeff, I'm a wicked man. I said, Grandpa, that's step number one. You got to realize you're a sinner. In a few minutes, my nasty old grandpa bowed his head and closed his eyes. You should have heard the prayer. It sounds something like this. God, I'm a little uncomfortable talking to you. I've ignored you my whole life. I got a grandboy here that loves me, that's told me that I need to talk to you. I'm a nasty man. But if you could save a nasty man, I'm asking you to be my Savior. Please, I don't want to go to hell. I stepped out of the room. Grandpa had just been born again. My mom went back in. She stepped out and she said, Jeff, he's gone. I said, yeah, but I know where he went. Satan thought. Almost 90 years, he thought, I got your granddad, Jeff. We're taking him down. 90 years of life of hell and sucking down the booze and the beatings and the hatred and the wasted money. I got him. I'm taking him down. Well, I got news for you, old smutty face. At the last minute, Jesus Christ stepped in and he saved my grandpa. I'll tell you something. You see, grandpa been fiddling all his life trying to figure out how to carry the burdens and the heartaches, and he'd been fiddling with the booze thinking that was going to care for it. No! That won't care for the burdens of life. What you need is Jesus Christ. People, in our day and age, we fiddle to cover. Well, we'll try to cover up what's missing. Let me tell you what's missing in your life. Those of you sitting in this balcony today, you say, there's emptiness. I need answers. I have problems. Your answer's found in this old black book. Your answer's found in Jesus Christ. Your answer's found in the Creator of the universe. Why do we go to so many man-made ways of trying to fix our problems? Jesus is the answer. An old drunk was leaning at a sidewalk, looking in the gutter. It was nighttime, and you just tell he was soused, gone. A police officer came over and said, sir, what are you doing? The drunk said, I'm looking for a quarter. The officer said, a quarter? I dropped the quarter. The officer said, no, sir, why are you looking for it here? He said, well, there's a light. He said, well, sir, where'd you drop your quarter? He said, about a mile up the road. He said, why are you looking here? Drunk said, the light's better. You know something? Let me tell you the real truth about liquor. It's man's way of avoiding reality. I'm not your enemy today. I'm your friend. You can fiddle with it all you want, but it won't meet the need that you have. Drugs are the same way. People fiddle with their drugs. A lot of addicts, what are they trying to do? They're trying to fiddle away their life's burdens. Drugs are not the answer. It's like being locked up in that nut house. It just controls you more and more. Druggies get high hoping to fly past or float past the sorrow and the grief that is caused by their lost condition or their sinful condition. But you know something, you've got to come down sooner or later. You can keep yourself high all the time, meet an early death. But what you're looking for is not the needle you stick in your arm or the pill that you pop or the joint that you smoke or the coke that you toot. That is not really what you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus Christ, but you're just fiddling. You're fiddling. Just like that lousy preacher said to a young man, well, why don't you take up the fiddle and maybe it'll take away some of the burdens of life. And while that boy was busy fiddling, Jesus was ready to save him. And as he said, what your fiddling could not do, Jesus did. And what your drugs will not do, my Jesus will do. What your alcohol will not do, my Jesus will do. In the United States of America, over 500,000 heroin addicts. 43 million American citizens have experimented with marijuana. I knew a man, he turned to drugs because he was having problems with his wife. He lost her anyway. Why? Because he thought that maybe the drugs would help him to cope. No, they just destroyed him further because he was fiddling instead of getting to Jesus about his marriage. I knew a woman that turned to drugs because she had problems with her kids. She still lost her kids. But instead of turning to Jesus, she fiddled with drugs to see if that would alleviate the pressures of life. I knew a man that turned to drugs because he had a problem with his job. He still got fired from his job, but he fiddled with the drugs and they fiddled with his mind and rendered him virtually useless. I knew a man that contracted a disease, but he couldn't cope. Therefore, he turned to drugs and they just put him in a premature death. You listen to me. The answer is not drugs. The answer is not alcohol. The answer is Jesus Christ. It's time for some of us to stop fiddling around. If you're not born again today, the emptiness in your heart, the emptiness in your soul, the emptiness in your life is found in one person, and that is Jesus Christ. People fiddle with a variety of things while looking for Jesus Christ. They fiddle with money, hoping that money will get rid of that insecure feeling. You listen to me. I don't care how much money you have, as long as you're not safe, you're still going to have an insecurity about your future. Money won't buy you into heaven or out of hell. You can make all the money you want, but you have a never-dying soul, and that soul will spend eternity somewhere, and you're always going to have a human insecurity about your future until you turn to the one that can secure your eternity. And it is not Donald Trump that can secure your eternity. It is not Budweiser that can calm you. It is not going to be cocaine that'll take care of it. It is Jesus Christ that will provide the security you're looking for. People fiddle with so many things while trying to cover up the emptiness and the void and the lack in their life. We look for security in money, but it's not there, not really. People run to physical fulfillment. Our sex-crazed society looking for fulfillment, another physical thrill. Only Jesus truly will satisfy what you're looking for. We have a loneliness that, have you noticed something? Those of you that go from human being to human being, having your sexual relationship, just hoping that it will satisfy. You got to keep on going, don't you? You just keep on going. And you don't find the real satisfaction you're looking for. And I'll tell you why. Because there is a loneliness in your heart. There is a loneliness in your soul. There is a loneliness in your life. And as a human being, you look at that and say, I've got to find help somewhere. I've tried drugs. I've tried booze. I've tried so many things. I've tried success. I've tried relationships with people, but none of it is taking care of the emptiness in my heart. I'll tell you why. What you're looking for is Jesus Christ. He can move into that void in your heart by receiving Him as Savior, and you'll not find the loneliness that you used to have. That's what you're looking for. People run to power. The devil wants us to run to anything but Jesus Christ. It is salvation through Jesus Christ for which you search. This world, they run from item to item. You just name it. Constantly looking to fill the void. You were created by the God of the universe. He is your creator. What is missing in your life is receiving His Son as your Savior. Nothing else will fill the void. Nothing. People fiddle with religion. A lot of people run to religion. It's not religion we're looking for, folks. It's Jesus that we're looking for. There are churches on every corner. So-called churches. There are churches everywhere in America. But here's the problem. Churches are even just fiddling around anymore. I mean, how often do preachers stand up and dogmatically say, what you need is Jesus Christ? It is Jesus that is the answer. It is Jesus that will fill that void. It is Jesus that will give you a peace that passes all understanding. It is not being a member of this church or getting baptized or anything else. It is Jesus. That is what you're searching for. There are more churches in America today than ever, but there are more suicides in America than ever. You say, why is that? Because we've got churches that are just fiddling around with religion. It's a big game. It's a big game. Churches keeping up with the Joneses. Let's see who has the nicest chandeliers. Hey, it doesn't matter whether you have chandeliers or old oil lamps. As long as you're preaching Jesus, the light of the world, that's what makes a difference in a church. Churches everywhere in America today, but there's more divorce. There are churches everywhere in America, more than ever, but there are more nervous breakdowns. There are more churches in America today than ever, but there are more runaway teenagers. And when we go to a church, you better make sure you find a church that will lift up the old-time religion in Jesus Christ. You will not get saved by, hey, people, churches will get to fiddling with the things of God and get to fiddling with your emotions. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get to heaven because you take communion or because you get baptized or because of confirmation or not because of some social Christianity. There is one way and one way only. You'll get to heaven and fill the void that's missing in your soul, and that is by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's it. We religiously fiddle with the things of God. Any religion that does not uplift Jesus Christ in His book is not worth fiddling with. You shouldn't be around it. You say, well, your religion, Brother Owens, is a crutch. No, not my religion, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what my crutch is. My crutch is Jesus Christ. You see, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. That's what I'm doing. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have someone that I am going to depend upon. And He's never let anybody down. You turn to Jesus Christ, ask Him to be your Savior. He'll save you. He's never lied. He's never dropped one, lost one, let one go. You'll be saved for all eternity. And some of your insecurity that drives you to your drugs and drives you to your alcohol and drives you to all those other things that you fiddle with, you'll find out they were a waste of your time and they'll be put in the background. And Jesus will be brought in the forefront of life, and you'll find security, and you'll say, you know what, I think I can do this. There are people in this building who say, I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I can make it through life the way things are going. Hey, I can assure you how you can make it, how you can take it. You don't have to do it alone. Get born again and let God move into your life, and then you'll have the power of God and the assistance of God to live this life. Be careful fiddling. We fiddle religiously. So they come along and say to you, do some good deeds so you can go to heaven. That's a lie out of hell. Good deeds never got anybody to heaven. You say, but should we do good deeds? Absolutely. The thing that gets you to heaven, though, is getting born again. Getting saved. The good deed that Jesus did was the works that will get you to heaven. That was His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You receive that. It's not by works of righteousness which you will do. Not at all. It's not by works lest any man should boast about those works. You see, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be careful someone come along and say to you, well, you do some good deeds and that'll get you to heaven. I'm sorry. Good deeds never have gotten anybody to heaven. You have to trust Christ. So they will come along and say to you, get baptized. Let us sprinkle you, spit on you. Let us spray you down. That'll get you to heaven. I'm sorry. You will not get to heaven. We are a Baptist church. There's a tank of water right back here. We may see it trouble in a little while. But all the water in the world won't save you. It is Jesus Christ that will save you. Get baptized. Get baptized. I'm for getting baptized after you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, not as a part of your salvation, but as a part of obedience to God after having trusted Christ as Savior. That's what baptism is. People say, join the church. You listen to me. I don't want you to join my church unless you're born again. You joining this church won't get you to heaven. There are people everywhere that just think, if you join the church, well, my name's on the church roll. I don't care if your name is on a jelly roll down at Dunkin' Donuts. It's not going to get you to heaven. Having your name on the church roll has nothing to do with going to heaven. It's having your name written down in heaven that you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, I took communion. I took the Lord's Supper. Well, you can drink Welch's grape juice until you turn purple all over, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You can eat every saltine cracker until you walk around saying, Polly want a cracker. But you can eat all the crackers and drink all the juice you want, but nobody's ever gone to heaven because they were cracker-eating, juice-sucking people. You go to heaven because you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, I took the Holy Eucharist. I don't care if you ate the Holy Cow. You're not going to heaven until you get saved. You can't fiddle your sins away. Stop playing religion. Come face to face with the reality of Jesus Christ. You've either accepted Him or you have rejected Him. And the emptiness that you feel in your heart and your soul is the absence of God. It is the absence of a Savior. You've only been healed slightly, but He can heal all the way. You should fear going to hell. You should fear it. Every Sunday morning at a little Baptist church, people gather early. And when they would gather, they would all sit around and fellowship and talk about the things of God. On this one Sunday morning, all of a sudden, the devil shows up. Whew. He walks in the back door. They know who he was right away. You know, he had the pitchfork, the long tail, the little horns. Whoa! Everybody scattered. They ran like roaches for the woodwork when you flip on a light. Whoa! They took off. One fella, he was just sitting there. He just sat there as bold as he could be. The devil walked in. Everybody, you could see doors closing and windows slamming. Everybody was gone but this one fella. He was sitting there all by himself. The devil walked over and said, aren't you afraid of me? He said, nope. I ain't afraid of you. The devil said, you ought to be afraid of me. Why aren't you afraid of me? The man said, I've been married to your sister for 25 years and I ain't afraid of you. We take a moment and we laugh, but let me tell you something. There's a real heaven and a real hell. You will die and you'll go to one of those two places, and the thing that makes the difference as to which place you go to is all based on one person or one word or one name, Jesus. You'll either trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or you'll die and go to hell. It's not church membership or baptism or good deeds. You say, well, I've just always been a Christian. That's too long. You couldn't have always been a Christian. There has to be a time and a place when you receive Him as Savior. The Bible teaches we're all sinners, and sinners deserve to go to hell, and Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected for sinners, and every sinner must make a conscious effort to receive what Jesus did as a finished work on the cross of Calvary as the payment for the penalty of their sin. And if you don't accept it, you reject it, you go to hell. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, I'm trying to tell you the truth. If you're not saved today, I recommend that you get saved, because that will fill the void in your life. Don't let some religion of any sort, whether it's Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, or whatever it is, don't you let any religion get you to fiddling with your eternity. Don't try to fiddle your way out of this thing. You face it. You need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Bottom line, end of the story. Now, wait a minute. There's some of you, you are born again. You're saved. You're saved. Let me tell you what I think one of the biggest problems in Christianity today is. We've got a bunch of Christians who just fiddle with their Christianity. It's time for some Christians to get serious. It's time for some of you Christians that you're looking for some peace in your life. Now, you know that your eternity is settled because you trusted Christ, but wait a minute. You don't have the peace in your Christian life you ought to have. Let me tell you what you need to do. Stop fiddling with your Christianity and get serious. It's time for some of you to stop fiddling with your church attendance and start showing up down at the church on a regular basis. Stop fiddling by showing up just at Christmas or just at Easter or just at some special occasion. Stop fiddling with your Christianity. Stop fiddling with the Bible. When you read some little religious book for a moment, or you read the religious announcements and activities in the newspaper and feel like you've done God a favor because you're religious. If you're born again, you ought to be reading your Bible. Read your Bible every day. A bunch of people in here, you call yourself a born-again Christian, and if you trusted Christ, I believe you, you're saved. But are you fiddling with your Christianity? Do you fiddle with church attendance? His plan? Do you fiddle with the Bible? Do you have to search for it every week to be able to drag it to church with you? Or have you for a moment tried to look into it during the week to see what your God wanted you to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? We're fiddling. We fiddle with God's money. We fiddle with the souls of men. We fiddle with Bible doctrines. You know, God's very dogmatic about what He printed in the old King James Bible. He expected us to believe it and to live it and to stand for it. Now, but we just fiddle with the things of God. We fiddle with church. We fiddle with the souls of men. We fiddle with God's money. We fiddle with the doctrines of the Bible. We just fiddle with being right with God, don't we? You decorate at Christmas time, so you think you're a good Christian. You know something? There's a whole lot more to being a good Christian than decorating at Christmas time. Thanksgiving. The family finally slows down long enough that we pray together. Whoopee! God's more interested in your life than you just working into two holidays out of the year. He said, I don't like you. No, it's not me you don't like. It is the truth for which I stand that bothers you. Well, that's why I started this sermon, if you remember correctly. See, we just want to fiddle. We want to fiddle with religion and fiddle with Jesus and fiddle with the things of God and fiddle with the church. We want to fiddle. We talk about the importance of the Ten Commandments, but don't live them. Well, I'll tell you what, this business about the Ten Commandments, I'm against them taking them shrines down. You don't even live them. You're just lip service, that's all. Or you'd show up at the Lord's house on Sabbath day. Hey, Christian, what are you fiddling with that you shouldn't be? There are people in this building, you are born again, you are saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ, but all you do is piddle and fiddle with your Christianity. And there's a world out there that's pretty sick and tired of Christians that are half in, half out, half on, half off, half hot, half cold. They're looking for some old-time Christians that believe the Bible all the time and live it all the time and love Jesus all the time and live right all the time and are not playing religion. By the way, if you can ignore me right now, go ahead. Try to do something to ignore the truth that's being preached. I'll tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God would like to change your life around and get some of you to put your fiddle down. There are Christians in this room, on the upper level, on the lower level, in the choir, all across this congregation that need to stop fiddling with God. You need to put your fiddle down and get serious about the things of God. There are some people in here, you're on your way to hell. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't fiddle with your soul. You get right to the answer. Don't even pick up another fiddle and try to cover your situation. You're lost. You need Jesus Christ. And you need to get born again. Some of you that are born again, it's time for you to stop fiddling. Get serious about the things of God. There are people in this building, you need to find you a red-hot Bible-believing Bible Christian soul-winning Baptist church and join it. You need to start showing up for church. You need to stop playing around. You're backslidden. You're away from God and you know it. And you need to quit fiddling around with your Christianity. Get down to it. Get serious. Old Robbie said, "Preacher, why? Why do you tell me to fiddle? What your fiddling could not do for me, preacher, Jesus has done. And what you're really looking for, all your fiddling's not going to do it. But Jesus. And Jesus alone can do it. If you're lost, He'll save you. If you're away from God, you need to come back to Him. And stop fiddling. Stop fiddling with your marriage and fiddling with your kids and fiddling with your life. And you just get down to it. Set the fiddle down and say, I'm going to get serious about the things of God. They said of this time in Jeremiah's history, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. Jesus will heal all the way. Your fiddling just heals slightly. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.